The Lord be with you.
And with
you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Again, Jesus left the district of Tyre and went by way of Sidon to the Sea of Galilee into the district of the Decapolis. And people brought to him a deaf man who had a speech impediment and begged him to lay his hand on him. He took him off by himself, away from the crowd. He put his finger into the man's ears and, spitting, touched his tongue. Then he looked up to heaven and groaned and said to him, "Ephphatha," that is, "be opened." And immediately the man's ears were opened, his speech impediment was removed, and he spoke plainly. He ordered them not to tell anyone, but the more he ordered them not to, the more they proclaimed it. They were exceedingly astonished, and they said, "He has done all things well. He makes the deaf hear and the mute speak." The Gospel of the Lord. Good. So once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. Rise and shine, everybody. Welcome back. What appears to be just an ordinary, run-of-the-mill miracle of Jesus is, in fact, much deeper than it seems, with an important lesson for all of us. So Jesus heals a deaf man with a speech impediment right here. And you're tempted to think somewhere in your mind, yeah, it's just another miracle. It's just what Jesus does. Right? Not that any miracle is ordinary. Every miracle, by definition, is highly extraordinary. And not to diminish in the slightest anything that Christ our Lord would ever choose to do. However, you come to Mass, you hear the scriptures read, and you expect to hear miracles. It's just what Jesus does. Count up the number of miracles in the New Testament, add up the number, and you will find that number to be 35. And this appears to be just one more miracle. Jesus heals a deaf man with a speech impediment. Truth is, this is very, very special, this miracle, with an important lesson for all of us. Allow me to try to explain. Okay, first reason why this miracle is special is because this is one of only three times in the Gospels that you ever hear Jesus speaking in his original language, his native Aramaic. And looking up to heaven, Jesus groaned and he said, "Ephphatha, be opened." One of only three times you ever hear his original language. Once before, he'd spoken in his original Aramaic when he raised a 12-year-old girl from the dead, the daughter of Jairus. Moved to the depths of his spirit, the scriptures tell us, Jesus turned to the little girl and said, "Talitha kum," meaning, "Little girl, arise." And the only other time Jesus ever speaks a commandment, a phrase, right, in his original language, is when he's dying on the cross. Talk about an important moment, right? And from the depths of his spirit, he looks up to heaven and he says, "Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani," my God, why have you abandoned me?" So here's the Gospel of Mark, who tells us this. Do you know who Mark is? See, if I were to take a poll, right, and I were to say, tell me, who do you think St. Mark is? Most people would say, he's one of the 12 apostles, isn't he? And St. Mark was not one of the 12 apostles. You can look around our 12 apostles altar up here, and you will not find St. Mark. St. Mark was the scribe of St. Peter. He followed Peter and recorded his preaching. So when you hear the Gospel of St. Mark, what you're hearing is the preaching of St. Peter. And no less than St. Peter thought this was so important that he would record only one of three times Jesus' original words, right? Second reason why this miracle is so important is because he takes the man off apart by himself to heal him. Highly unusual. So the crowd begged him just to lay his healing hand upon him, as he'd done for so many others, but Jesus won't do it. Or he could have healed him with just a single word, like he'd done for the paralytic, like he'd done for the Roman centurion, but he won't do it. Highly unusual now. He takes him apart by himself and in private so that nobody can see, nobody can know, heals this man. Why is that so important? You'll just have to be patient. I'm going to tell you in just a moment, okay? Because the third reason why this is so special, this miracle, is the nature of the miracle itself. He heals this man who's been deaf and who has a speech impediment, and you think to yourself, well, you know, maybe he stutters. Maybe he slurs his words. He has a speech impediment. But do you know that what the Bible actually says is that he has never been able to speak his entire life, and he's been deaf from birth? There's a phrase used in the original language of the scriptures, which is not English, but is Greek, and it describes this man as a kophon moglalion. And you just got to take my word for it this morning, okay? That means somebody who's never been able to speak, never been able to hear from birth. And instantly, his tongue is loosed, and he speaks plainly. Now, you know, you don't have to be a speech therapist to know that if you've never spoken in your life, you are not just, you know, suddenly going to have the muscle development that it takes to articulate coherent speech. How many years do we spend as little children learning how to form proper words? And this man, instantly, and not only that, but he's been deaf from birth. He's never heard anybody speak, and instantly he can speak clearly. That's quite a miracle, okay? That was an act of God. And once upon a time, the prophet Isaiah told the people of Israel, in one of the darkest times in their entire history, that one day God himself would visit his people and do just this. God comes with vindication, Isaiah said. The ears of the deaf will be cleared. The tongue of the mute will sing. And if that sounds familiar to you here this morning, that's because it was your first reading. So all the people of Israel would have known that Isaiah prophesied this extraordinary event. And they would have known that this guy was the Messiah. And that's why Jesus takes him apart by himself to heal him. That's why Jesus won't let anybody else see. He doesn't want anybody to know that he's the promised Messiah. Not yet. Not yet. And you say, well, why wouldn't Jesus want everybody to know that he's the promised Messiah? Why wouldn't he? Answer, because nobody's going to understand what the word Messiah means, not until after they see him suffer and die on the cross and rise again. See, I've mentioned this before. Go back to the days of the Lord, and you mention the word Messiah, and people were expecting a this-worldly political deliverer. Somebody who would bring back the glory of the days of King David and King Solomon, when Israel was an economic power and a military power and a cultural power and a major player on the world stage. And they were going to restore the greatness and the prestige of those days and throw off the oppression of the Roman government. And Jesus wasn't about any of that. Jesus didn't come for your economics. Jesus didn't come for your military. Jesus did not come for your national pride. And nobody would understand what that meant until after they saw him suffer and die like a common criminal and rise again from the dead. That's why he heals him apart from himself. And that's why this miracle is so important. Because there's a message in this here. It's that Jesus, he takes compassion on this poor man in the depths of his suffering,
Now, you know, we live in days, we've got Braille, we've got sign language. People with disabilities, they're able to be highly functional in society. This guy has never been able to communicate with people his whole life. And the Lord takes the deepest compassion on him. As he does on you in the depths of your deepest hardships. And that's part of the message. Okay, so we believe in a God who knows us and who loves us and who cares for us. We don't believe in, you know, impersonal energies and a spiritual force or, you know, the motions of stars in the sky affecting your life. We believe in none of that. We believe that the creator of the stars knows your name, knows you and cares for you. But he does ask for your cooperation in healing you, and that's precisely the challenge. So Jesus heals this poor man, and you notice what he does? He puts his fingers into his ears and, spitting, touches his tongue. Now that's something that rabbis did, by the way. However, this happened in Gentile territory. It says right here in the beginning of the scriptures, they were in the region of the Decapolis. That was Gentile territory. And so this man would have had every reason to see Jesus, you know, touch his tongue and recoil and be like, "What the heck? What are you doing?" But he doesn't. He trusts when he doesn't understand. And notice that's where the healing takes place. See, I've mentioned before, nobody would understand who the Messiah was until after he suffered and died. Can I share this with you here this morning? This is the core of the message. You can't understand who Jesus Christ is unless you're willing to carry your cross with him. You won't understand. He'll be just another this-worldly deliverer at best. And that's not who he is. And how do you carry your cross with the Lord? You suffer and trust when you do not understand. That's exactly how it's done. That's how Jesus heals. He needs that cooperation on your part. There's a church in Rome, and it's called the San Clemente, Basilica San Clemente. And you go to the back of this church, and they got this beautiful mosaic on their back wall, and it's their crucifix. But you look at their crucifix, and, you know, it's the weirdest crucifix you've ever seen, because it's got these branches, great big green branches growing out from all sides of the cross. And it's bearing these big leaves and these big heavy fruits. And you say, that's the weirdest crucifix I've ever seen. But it's actually ancient Christian wisdom. It's supposed to tell you that the cross is the tree of life. Trusting when you don't understand. And when you're carrying the cross, that's where God does his greatest work. And we're all carrying the cross. You wouldn't be here if you weren't. Heaven knows your priest is carrying the cross, right? If for no other reason than, you know, watching my beloved church, my bride, going through such terrible crisis. But you're all carrying the cross. What we want to do, brothers and sisters, trust and say these words to our Lord, Jesus, I trust in you. The most beautiful credo you'll utter is the one that you say in your hour of deepest darkness. That's where our Lord works his healing in your life. I've said this before, that when Jesus was carrying the cross and going up the hill of Calvary, everybody thought it was the end. Everybody thought it was the absolute worst, but God knew what he was about, even if nobody else did. And those who were wise never lost their trust. St. James tells us in our second reading, God chooses those who are poor in this world and makes them heirs to the kingdom. And there's no greater poverty than a suffering you do not understand. Will you trust the Lord through it? He begs you to. Will you trust the Lord through it and allow him to heal you with his power? That question remains unanswered because the answer depends on you. Amen.